stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, advice on how to deal with holiday stress. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. It's the holiday season, a time when everyone is expected to be jolly and celebrate, but you know, some people may not feel that way. Maybe you're stressed, depressed, or just thin on patience. If you are, it is okay. My next guest is here to help navigate some of those emotions. Jacob Sedan is here, an associate marriage and family therapist with Sharp Mesa Vista. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. So, a big theme this holiday season is expectations. Mm-hmm. We might have a very specific idea of how we want this time of year to look and to go. But is that something that's come up a lot with the clients you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. Expectations about what the holidays should look like, what they have looked like, and what we think that they should look like this season really get into people's heads and in the way of them experiencing an authentic and good holiday season. Oftentimes people come in and they're stressed out about the way that things have been in the past, family roles and dynamics, especially when they think about going home to visit loved ones and the different things that that can bring up. And that can really, really cause them trouble. Mm-hmm. And so what we often try and do at Sharp Mesa Vista is encourage them to pause and ask themselves, what do I want this holiday season to look like? And then again, what do I want this holiday season to look like really? And that moment where they ask themselves, what do I really care about? What do I really value? What do I really treasure and want to experience during this time can bring a lot of clarity and can start to just shed some of those shoulds that they may have placed on themselves or that have been placed on them by other people.
Hmm. Does it have to look like anything, though? You know?
Yeah. I think that's such a great question. Does it have to look like anything? I think it needs... or it should, here I am kind of violating my own rule, it should look and feel in a way for you that's comfortable and authentic, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's how I think it should look in that way.
All right. Well, now financial stress is also a major factor here, especially in San Diego where, mm-hmm. you know, the cost of living is so high. How has that come up in conversation for you and your clients?
Yeah, it relates right back to expectations, things that we think that we should purchase for others, money that we think that we should spend is a really big problem for many people. We encourage people to kind of sit down and ask themselves what matters most. In my personal life, if I think back to the gifts that have been most meaningful to me, it's been something small, usually insignificant, but that really says that the person knows me and understands me. I think back to a keychain that I got as part of a basket of gifts one year, and that keychain could not have been more than a few dollars, and it just was so meaningful. And so oftentimes people think that we have to go out and buy these lavish gifts for people and that this is going to show how much I care about them, and that's not always the case. We can spend time with people, we can write them cards, we can kind of pause and ask, well, what's most meaningful to me, what's most meaningful to this person, and what could I give them or do for them that would speak to the relationship we have? And if it's a physical gift, great, and it might be a day that we're going to spend together, it might be a road trip on the coaster up to LA and we're going to go walk on the beach and do something that's not too expensive. But a lot of the expectations about money we think we should spend can really increase our financial stress and just cause more heartache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not so much about the commercialization, mm-hmm. right, of the holiday. You know, let's talk through some possible scenarios here, starting with the holiday party. Say someone feels overwhelmed with all the small talk. What should they do?
It's a great question. Let's imagine that we're going to a holiday party and we're feeling anxious beforehand. First, we want to give ourselves a moment to pause and ask ourselves, what's coming up for me? How do I feel about going to this event? And even that pause beforehand where we can check in with ourselves can really start to reduce the anxiety. People often assume that if I focus or pay attention to whatever is bothering me, it's actually going to make it worse. And what we find in psychotherapy and what we see at Chart Mesa Vista is that when we look at the issue, it actually becomes a lot more manageable. And so when people think about going to these holiday parties, we want to pause and we want to ask ourselves, well, what am I thinking about as I go into this? What kind of experience would I like to have? Are there things that I may have done in the past or ways of interacting in which that didn't feel comfortable for me and no longer work for me? And what would I like it to look like this time? What boundaries do I need to set with my family members, with my friends? Perhaps we have this tradition of doing X, Y, or Z, and you know, this here, that just really doesn't work for me. And so really taking a moment to pause and ask ourselves, what do we want the interaction to look like? What do we want it to look like really? And then scheduling some time to debrief afterwards, finding somebody who's safe, whether it's your therapist or a best friend or a confidant who we can debrief with afterwards, process the experience for ourselves, and then kind of figure out what worked and didn't work. But setting up a plan for before the interaction, what do we really want to look like, managing expectations and setting boundaries while we're there, and then having a debrief period can really be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Should people feel obligated to go to every holiday gathering they're invited to? Maybe some people, for them, can be a little overwhelming, I imagine.
Absolutely, yeah. I do not encourage everyone to go to every single event. That's a recipe for anxiety and not a good time during the holidays. You want to go to the ones that work for you, and the ones that you can't go to, reschedule. Tell the person that you'd love to spend some time with them this holiday season, but you can't make that event and you'd love to do something different. But really managing, how do I want to spend this time? Do I need to go to my friend's holiday party and my holiday party and my work's holiday party and this holiday party? Well, that doesn't seem comfortable for me. Well, what does seem comfortable? And so long as I'm taken care of, I can kind of manage whatever else comes up in that process and whatever reactions I get from people when I say no.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here's another one. There's also this, you know, the dreaded conversation at the dinner table for some folks. You know, maybe you have some relatives whose opinions you disagree with. How do you navigate that delicate social situation?
Yeah, this brings up a lot of anxiety for a lot of folks. Something that can be very helpful is kind of having our no's and our yeses ready. An example of that would be, I'm not going to be talking about politics this year, but I would love to hear about your kids' soccer. And anybody who knows parents whose kids are in sports or soccer, they know they'd love to talk about
it. That's it. They can go.
Go and go and go. And so having a couple of responses ready about, hey, you know, actually, I don't want to talk about that, but I would love to hear about this. So I'd still love to have a great connection with you and a conversation with you, but these topics, you know, they're not going to work for me. And so that kind of 1-2 and having that ready can be really helpful.
All right. Well, the shopping malls are packed. Things are expensive and people are on their worst behavior over parking spaces. Mm-hmm. I've seen this. All of it can be like sensory overload and really spike anxiety. So how can people stay calm and find peace in all that?
Deep breaths, just like the one I just took in this moment. The parking lots, getting in the mall, the high stress. We all have the image in our mind of two people fighting over the same sweater and pulling it back and forth, and it can all be overwhelming. So we want to find moments, whether we're at the mall or in our car or at any time, to kind of pause, take a deep breath, check in with ourselves. If we're in a situation or a moment where we are feeling overwhelmed, first thing you want to do is find some space, take an inventory. What's coming up for me right now? What is it asking of me? Do I just need to take a deep breath? Do I need to make a phone call? If I am in a crisis, do I need to seek professional help? Call my therapist, reach out to Chart Mesa Vista, etc. We teach a skill at the hospital called box breathing, in which we just encourage people to breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, and breathe out for 4 seconds. And one of the things we know is that when we're feeling dysregulated, rhythm can really regulate us. Mm-hmm. So rhythm regulates. And the first place we can start with is our breath. Hand on your chest, in for 4 seconds, hold, out for 4 seconds. And so especially in moments when we are in the parking lot and when we're all fighting for the same spot, just taking a moment and doing that can be really helpful.
Mm, good advice there. Another situation here, you know, the holidays can be a really difficult time for people who recently lost a loved one or someone they really care about. How can they navigate that grief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, part of it kind of comes back to expectations. Do I think that I should be happy during this holiday season? Do I think I have to present it a certain way in light of all the grief I've experienced? Or, and we would say yes to this, can my grief and other emotions coexist? Does it have to look a particular way? Do I have to show up at Christmas and feel down the whole time? Or can I find moments where I can allow myself to experience the grief, whatever that looks like, whether it's some sadness or some anger and some frustration that the person is not here, that it's not the way we wished it was? And can that come alongside moments of joy and relief? So that tends to be a big challenge. One doesn't have to cancel out the other. There's also rituals that people find helpful. Some people like to light a candle, or they'll prepare a meal, or bake cookies, or whatever they used to do with that person. They can find that really helpful. So the big thing to kind of consider and do is pause and reflect, and what's going to make this holiday season meaningful for me? How can I remember this person in a way that feels comforting to me? And then what's that going to look like once I'm with my family and friends?
Yeah, it was something you said, allowing yourself to feel grief. That's mm-hmm. important. And then also allowing yourself to feel joy mm-hmm. and to really embrace those moments too.
Yeah.
You know, is there, you know, what's the best way to comfort someone who may be mourning the loss of a person they cared about?
Yeah, great question. There's not exactly one perfect thing to say. And that's kind of the first step, is recognizing that there's sometimes nothing you can say. Sometimes it's just your presence. It's a check-in. It's sending a text and saying, hey, I'm thinking about you today. Hope all is well. And just kind of being there for somebody. The worst thing we can do is say that everything happens for a reason, or you'll get through this. It's going to be okay. Or kind of cliches like that. Just saying, hey, this is really hard. Mm-hmm. And I can tell it's hard. And just so you know, I'm here for you. And just that presence and that constant being there for somebody can be really helpful. And then recognizing that grief is not just one particular emotion. It's not just sadness. There's a variety of ways. It's not a singular event. It's a process and something that we experience over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the holidays can also be lonely mm-hmm. For some folks, especially those who might be disconnected from their family or community. What's a way to deal with that?
Well, I work with seniors specifically at the hospital, so this is really something that we see. Many people are alone during the holidays, and it's kind of taboo to think about. You look at TV and film, and the expectation is that you're going to be surrounded by friends and loved ones and family, and for some people that's true. And for many others, it's not the case. And so we want to kind of figure out, where are other ways that I can find community and connection? Is there anybody who comes to mind? And I encourage everyone right now to kind of pause and say, is there anyone I can think of right now who might not have anybody to spend the holidays with? Could I send them a text either on Christmas Day, on Christmas Eve, or whatever holiday that you're celebrating? How can I just kind of show up in a small and significant way? Because it is a big problem, and it's not always acknowledged. And again, kind of going back to the expectations of how I should experience the holidays, and I should have all these people around me, and it's just not always the case. So a simple text, a simple check-in, and then finding ways that you can be around community, friends, and family that works for you is really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, the holidays look different for everyone, and there are so many unnecessary expectations that come along with it this time of year. How else do you recommend people really sort of reframe their thinking around the holidays?
Well, a big thing to make sure that we understand, and we're really big on this at Short Mesa Vista, is the connection between how you're thinking about the holidays, how it's going to make you feel, and what you're going to do. If I think that this is going to be a joyful holiday season, and that it's not going to look how it used to look, but that it's going to look good for me, that's going to make me feel a little bit better, and it's going to encourage me to engage in it in different ways. If I'm having unhelpful thoughts about the holidays, it's going to change how I feel. It's going to change how I interact with them. And so kind of thinking about and taking a moment, how do I like to think about this holiday season? How does that thought make me feel about it? And then what do I want to do that is in alignment with my value, with my goals for the new year, and for everything that's to come?
I've been speaking with Jacob Sedan, Associate Marriage and Family Therapist with Sharp Mesa Vista. Jacob, thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you for having me. Happy holidays.
We That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a teen-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.